The future of sports radio starts now.
Knox will always be around. He's sort of like that TV show Cops. You know, you don't realize it's still on the air. Then one Saturday evening, you're getting dressed, and you hear, bad boys, what you gonna do? And you're like, they're still doing that thing?
The Half-Ass Podcast.
One more round, T-Bow.
God, you think it's bad now with Tim Tebow? Wait till New York gets a hold of him. I'm sick of hearing about him, but not for the reasons you think. I mean, we all know about Tim Tebow as a person. We all know about Tim Tebow as a football player. We've seen what happened last year in Denver, and that's Hollywood movie stuff, what happened in Denver last year, especially the playoff game. It seems that nobody can have a completely objective conversation about Tim Tebow, and that's the part that just drives me nuts. Because you either have the people who think he's this magical, incredible, force of nature football player, unstoppable, or the other side says that he's just completely worthless and has no business even being in the NFL. And it's like when a couple breaks up. I've been divorced, and let me tell you, everything is the fault of the other person in the relationship when you break up. And the one thing you learn when you go to counseling and everything is that everything's your fault. There's no middle ground with that, and that's just not true. The truth lies somewhere in the middle, and that's true with Tim Tebow as well. No one wants to acknowledge that, though. People have to remember, Tim Tebow provides the kind of leadership that not only transcends football, but it's also the kind of thing that is essential in being an effective quarterback. You could have tremendous arm. Look at Jeff George. Greatest arm maybe in the history of the NFL. Not a leader in any way, shape, or form. And he struggled as a quarterback because of that. So Tim Tebow, in the leadership aspect, is a good quarterback, a good teammate. The passing aspect, the side that says he's worthless, talks about how bad of a passer he is. Well, I'm not trying to defend Tim Tebow necessarily, but you got to remember a couple things. Look at the Hall of Fame careers of some of the best quarterbacks you've ever seen, and look at their passing stats in their first 2 or 3 years in the NFL. They didn't exactly set the world on fire. Tim Tebow had one of the best moments in the history of the NFL playoffs, throwing an 80-yard touchdown pass on the first play of overtime. You can't say somebody's a terrible passer when a Steelers defense dares him to throw and he throws a winning touchdown pass in overtime. You just can't do it. Passing can be taught. People say it can't, but it happens all the time. You don't hear about it all the time because people don't want to talk about how they're tweaking the mechanics of certain quarterbacks. Footwork, arm motion. You can work on timing. That can be acquired with repetition. They have coaches that can work with you on passing. So it is possible that he could develop into a better passer. As a way to cope with my perfectionism, I came up with a church of good enough. It's basically my way of saying that some things, you just have to accept what they are. Just say it's good enough. The church of good enough is officially recognizing Tim Tebow as someone that at least deserves an opportunity, based on what he's shown already, to play quarterback in the NFL. He's earned the right to at least have the chance, if someone's willing to give him a chance, and try to coach him to his strengths, which is what good coaching is. You coach players to what they can do. You don't focus on what they can't do. You improve what they can't do, but you don't focus on what they can't do. You game plan to put him in a position to succeed. Does that mean he will succeed? Does that mean he's going to become a great quarterback? Probably not. I don't know about great quarterback. He could be a good quarterback, an effective quarterback. On the right team, he could be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I say on the right team. He's not going to single-handedly bring you a Super Bowl. But he could be a contributor to a championship team that has the right pieces around him. That's certainly possible. I find it odd that you see teams, as a Vikings fan, Tavares Jackson, 3 years of my life that I can never get back were spent trying to make him an NFL quarterback. How come Tavares Jackson gets 3 years when he has no discernible quality of any kind? Nothing spectacular about him whatsoever. And Tim Tebow only gets 2 with the Broncos. Look at Rex Grossman. How many chances did he get in Chicago and now in Washington? Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick in Buffalo. I mean, he's a pocket passer. He hasn't done anything special other than get some good fantasy stats. And what do you get, a $59 million contract? I can understand that John Elway and John Fox didn't draft Tim Tebow. They inherited Tim Tebow. And the executives, coaches, they like to bring their own people in. That I can get. The job Mike McCoy did, the offensive coordinator in Denver last year, he patterned the offense around what could make Tim Tebow be a successful quarterback. What could make the Broncos a successful team, where they can move the ball, gain yards, score points. I really have to give a lot of credit to McCoy for doing that. Have them run the same offense Kyle Orton ran poorly. Pop their popcorn in the microwave and just sit back and watch them fail. They could have done that. They didn't do that. They made the offense more to his ability, which is what coaching is. I mean, who cares that it looks like hell? People are like, the read option, that's not football. Well, it is football. Football is the ability to move the chains, gain yards, go downfield, blocking and tackling. If you have a problem with the aesthetic quality of the way he does it, then at least own up to that. Not every quarterback is the same. Not every player does it the same. That would be boring if everybody did it the exact same way. Then it's all about execution. Who can do it better than the other person? Part of the beauty of sports is the contrast of styles. Not everybody has the same amount of ability. How can you maximize the ability that you do have? Strategy. It's called strategy. I mean, it's one thing if you have a plan, I have a system, and you get the personnel that automatically fits in that system. That's great. If you can accomplish that through the draft or free agency, that's great. But if you have, you got to play the hand you're dealt. Begrudgingly, the Broncos played the hand they were dealt last year, and they had a modicum of success. They really didn't want to build on it, though. I can understand why John Elway would want Peyton Manning. I mean, when I look at Denver, 2012 Broncos, I see the 2009 Vikings. They finally cut bait on Tavares Jackson and got Brett Favre. We're looking at maybe 1 or 2 years. Short-term gains. Remember that. They're not building a franchise around Peyton Manning. This is a short-term acquisition. They want immediate success. He's a transitional quarterback. And then you got to start over again. Basically coming down to the personal taste of John Elway, who is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's another example of why great superstar players make for terrible executives and coaches. He has no frame of reference whatsoever to an average player, a player that needs to work hard to become a great player. Players that aren't gifted, they can't relate to it. They can't understand it. In some ways, they don't want to be around it. John Elway wanted to be around Peyton Manning. He wanted to have, more than having a quarterback to run his team, he wanted to have somebody that he can talk to about what it's like to just be a naturally gifted Hall of Fame quarterback. They have something in common, him and Manning. He could never relate to what Tim Tebow was or is. Tebow still needs a lot of work. I'm not willing to write him off. I'm not one of these people that just thinks he's infallible. But you don't hear that kind of argument. He's either great or he sucks. And no bigger proof of that is the ESPN 30-minute special they did. Skip Bayless and Screamin' A. Smith on ESPN. And you know Screamin' A. Smith just going off. He's basically got to be the anti-Bayless. The people that are against Tim Tebow that think he's completely worthless, how many of those people actually think he's completely worthless? And how many of them do you think are just saying whatever hateful stuff they got to say simply to offset the positivity of the people that are Tim Tebow fans? That's the problem. Does Screamin' A. Smith actually believe the stuff he's saying? Or is he saying it just to be the anti-Bayless? Regardless, it's just not an intelligent discourse. And that's what annoys me about all of it. It's hard to have the objective conversation that we can have. Mark Schlereth and Merrill Hodge on NFL Live, ESPN NFL Live, and some ridiculous stuff. Mark Schlereth in particular, talk about unintelligent discourse. He said, Tim Tebow is a great football player. He's terrible at his position, which, by the way, is the position that he's been playing since he was a child. But he's a great football player. Think about that. Great football player. He's absolutely terrible at what he does, but he's still a great football player. How can you say that? I'm not even getting into the religious aspect of it, because I don't think that is factoring into the hatred of his game. I should clarify, though, the Church of Good Enough is not an official religious organization. It's just a term. So please don't think that I'm endorsing him religiously. Oh, that was the worst pun I think I've ever said. I apologize for that. I'm not necessarily even endorsing him. I'm just endorsing an intelligent conversation about what he can or cannot possibly do in the NFL. I'm endorsing the end of all the ridiculousness of all of it. I just think there's a lack of understanding about how he can develop his game and how he can objectively critique his game. He's a mobile quarterback. Remember when Michael Vick first played with the Falcons? Michael Vick had a lot of problems making throws. Was there this kind of hatred about Michael Vick? Now keep in mind, this is before the whole dog thing. This is his rookie year, his second year. No, because everybody loved the electricity of Michael Vick running with the ball. I remember buying him on the cover of Madden 2004 when it first came out. So, mainstream acceptance. You're on the cover of Madden. At least the perception is you're a hell of a football player. And they were giving him a pass. Oh my God, another pun. I'm really sorry. Well, anyway, my point is they overlooked the fact that he was a bad passer. And he was. Terrible throwing the ball. Well, they didn't overlook it, but what he could do overshadowed what he couldn't do. They allowed that to happen. They tried making him a pocket passer and it didn't work. They go back to that modified whatever, you know, let him scramble offense they did. Good coaching allows the talent to succeed. You put the talent in a position to succeed. Do I think Tim Tebow is going to be the starter in New York? Yes, I think eventually he will be. Not because he's going to sell out all his jerseys in New York City. It has nothing to do with his Virgin Mobile phone endorsement, which if I were his agent, I'd be on that. I don't understand why that isn't a slam dunk endorsement deal. Malpractice as an agent. Not because of the fame and celebrity. I think he's going to end up being the starting quarterback in New York because he's going to work harder than Mark Sanchez. He's more coachable. Mark Sanchez is more prone to mental errors. And Rex Ryan, believe it or not, actually hates mental errors. He's not really a fan of Mark Sanchez's game. He can work Tebow on some rollouts, get some short passes. He's got receivers he could run deep if opposing defense is going to put nine in the box, like the Steelers did in the playoffs. Got to remember, Sanchez only started one full season in college at USC. Some players take 4 or 5 years before they actually completely develop their game. It's going to be interesting competition with the Jets because they've got two young quarterbacks who both have flaws in their games, and I think the first one that can become a more complete quarterback is going to become the Jets quarterback. And it's going to be interesting to see. Taking all the outside stuff out, I'm talking purely who's going to raise their game this year. That's going to be the person who's starting at the end of the season for the Jets. Unfortunately, though, it's New York, and it's going to turn into a serious circus. And for all the criticism that Mark Sanchez has gotten in New York, Tebow's going to get 100 times the attention. It's going to be a magnified fishbowl. I'm just thinking, if you can't objectively talk about him, then we should stop talking about him.